Well, good afternoon and welcome. This is Mike Harris broadcasting on www.veteranstoday.com as well as www.freedomslips.com, Studio B, Revolution Radio. Today is Thursday, January 28th, 2016. Hey, and guess what? I do not have a guest, okay? So I'm going to be depending on callers. I'm going to give the dial-in number a couple times. So it's get a pen, get a paper. It's 310-421-4053. And again, I'll say it a couple more times, 310-421-4053. And I hope you all call in because, you know what, if you don't, I want to hang up because my time's valuable too. And I don't have enough in me right now to do a two-hour monologue. So that's the truth, folks. Anyway, I missed on Tuesday. I had a dental appointment where, New Year's Day, I broke a gold inlay in one of my teeth. I got back in 1983 during the first Reagan administration, and it finally gave up the ghost after all these years. And I went in there to get the inlay replaced. Well, of course, the first thing the dentist says is, oh, well, we can't replace that. We've got to give you a crown, okay? So they go in there, and you know this particular place I went to called Premier Dental. Folks, don't go to this kind of place. This is factory dentistry. It's not a practice. It's an assembly line. Okay, the dentist couldn't get me in and out of the chair quick enough. He was not kind or gentle to my mouth, and you know they just don't have the time because they're obviously being pushed by their management. It's one of these kind of organizations that's run by accountants and MBAs, okay? It's not run to the benefit of the patient. It's only run to the benefit of whoever their shareholders are. So my former dentist who did the magnificent work that lasted over 30 years retired. He got old. He quit. And so I had needed dental work in a long time, so I went to this place. So anyway, they immediately began to upselling me to a crown. And so I said, okay, fine, let's get the crown. And the first one they were going to give me was, they just said base metal. And I said, well, what do you mean base metal? And she goes, oh, it's a combination of various metals. I said, well, no, we're going to go with a gold crown with a porcelain overlay so that it looks like a normal tooth. Well, all right, so it took 3 weeks to get this gold crown with the porcelain overlay. So I go down there to get it. And I said, well, you know, they're sitting me in the chair, they're getting me ready. You know, remember, we're on the assembly line. The factory has to move. You know, they've got to get the patient in and patient out. And I said, well, before you put it in, can I see it? And they showed me this molar that was solid gold, baby. I kid you not. I looked like I was getting a grill, like I was one of the gangsters in the hood. And I said, no. You misunderstood. This is a gold crown with the porcelain overlay. Did they forget the porcelain part? And I kind of got a little sharp with the poor hygienist. She's the one who takes the writes everything down, but the dentist is the one who approves it. And they forgot to put the porcelain part on the order with the lab, they call it, that does this type of stuff. So I came back and I was in a very foul mood, and I was pressed for time, so I missed my show on Tuesday. So that is my tale of woe. Meanwhile, I still have a temporary crown in there, and it's going to be another 3 weeks till they say they can get me the permanent gold crown with a porcelain overlay, so it looks like the rest of the teeth. And I looked at the poor girl, the hygienist. I said, look, inside this mouth, I've got other crowns in there. Any of them gold? Do you think I'd want one that stands out and looks gold? I mean, I'm not a rapper. I just that's just not my thing. I kind of like my teeth to look like teeth and not look like jewelry. Anyway, that's the story. That's why I missed on Tuesday. I apologize. Again, let me give out the dial-in number. I hope somebody out there picks up the phone because I'm going to give this about 15-20 minutes. And hey, we got our first caller, 281. Welcome to the show. Who's this? Hello. All right, we've got a listener who's listening to their computer, not listening to the show. Hello, 281, welcome. I guess 281 wanted to hang up, so I thought we had our first caller. Obviously, we didn't. Again, let me give out the dial-in number. It's 310-421-4053. And I hope that I hope we get some callers. I really do. Like I said, I don't have enough material in me right now. I've taken a job, full-time job at that, and you know, to be able to carve out time to do this radio show, it takes an effort on my part. So I like doing the radio show. It gives me a chance to talk to really interesting guests. And by the way, next Tuesday, we've got Miles Johnson scheduled to do the show. He'll be joining us from the UK. And I always like having Miles on. He's a great guy. Anyway, all right, 281, you're back.
Hello.
Yeah, hi. I need to turn down your speakers in the background a little bit. We can hear.
1 second here, and I will turn it off.
Okay, very good. So, welcome, and who are we talking to?
This is Doug in Houston.
Hey, Doug in Houston, how you doing?
Pretty good. We haven't talked in a while. It's been some months.
But we haven't. I haven't. You know, doing the show only 2 days a week, I don't take shows with callers as often as I used to. Mm-hmm. You know, because it's just like I said, I have less time available now. Like I said, I had to go to work for a living. I was lucky enough to get a full time job, and I'm happy mm-hmm. for that. So,
yeah, you explained it to me back in July, I think it was.
Yeah, we've got another caller who's holding, but I need to ask him to turn down his volume on his speakers as well. But hey, what's on your mind? What's up?
Oh, as usual, everything, anything and everything.
Okay, we have a 781 caller on there who needs to turn his speakers down. So, yeah, I hear the time delay that we have. That's so they can edit out any profanities we may utter. Anyway, so Doug, I got to ask your opinion.
Sure.
What do you think of Trump's move to just drop out of the debate on Fox tonight?
I thought it was kind of brilliant. I saw that on Zero Hedge, where he just kind of like flanked him, didn't he?
Well, he did. They've been hostile to him since the get go. And mm-hmm. and so why does he want to go up there and paint a target on his chest so they can
exactly.
shoot bullets at him? And the thing is, I think it's such a brilliant move because, you know what? Without mm-hmm. Trump, nobody's going to watch the rest of those midgets up there. The rest of them are midgets.
That's true. It's going to kill their ratings, and they know
it's going to kill their ratings. They screwed themselves. I mean, you know, Fox mm-hmm. really, really did. As attractive as Megyn Kelly is, and as desirable as she looks, she doesn't have the pull that Trump's got. You know, because we're talking about all the marbles here, not just some pretty girl. We're talking about, you know, who's going to run the country. And like I said, this mm-hmm. is going to show everybody in the country that Trump is the man among midgets. And how many are left? What, 9, 11? How many are out there?
I kind of, well, the other side is Cruz has challenged him to 1.5 million, some sort of 1.5 million challenge. And I'm not sure the details and all that. But I'm still looking to that. But I know Cruz, that guy, he just guy has a death wish, I guess. You know, not literally, but, you know, politically.
Well, I just don't trust him.
The guy's not qualified, as far as I'm concerned. He's a dual citizen. He's not a natural born citizen. I've looked into this natural born stuff. You know, most of the media is not telling you the truth on that about, you know, really, you know, according to the, there was a document in the 1770s, and I looked in, looked into this way back in 2008, I think it was, before Obama got his second term, about the whole idea of what is a natural born citizen, all that, and it's not simple. It's quite complicated, and it was meant to be complicated. It was meant to keep, you know, the certain people from assuming the mantle of president.
Well, I just think it's fascinating that Trump pulled what I consider to be a brilliant strategic and tactical move. And mm-hmm. the bigger thing here, it's going to show people that the media is not the giant we think it is. They're on their knees right now. They're dying. You know, I watched Face the Nation and Meet the Press and all those Sunday morning news shows. You know, and I counted the commercials. Okay, I count how many there are, and on any given commercial block, you will have up to 5 commercials. One of them will for sure be a defense contractor. Now, I'm sorry, but I don't buy from Boeing. And I don't buy from Raytheon or Northrop Grumman or any of them. I just don't. I'm not in a position to go out and buy a $200 million fighter craft. I just don't do business.
Speaking
with them,
of Boeing, did you see their stock just crater?
Let me finish. And we'll talk about that. But I look at these guys. So they're why are they advertising? Number one, and then I look at the rest of the commercials. And depending on the break, you'll have at least 2, possibly 3 pharma commercials, okay, where they're going to be selling you something that's for your nervous condition or for your irritable bowels or something, but it may cause all these other terrible side effects. And then you might get a local car dealership, or you might get a Ford or a Chevy ad or something like that. But that's what you get on the Sunday morning news shows. That's all who advertises. And the message I get from that is that nobody watches this crap anymore. Nobody turns it on, and they're trying to keep the media outlets alive by subsidizing them with this. That's my takeaway on that, is that the big media is dead, and I think this move of Trump's is going to cripple Fox News. I don't think they're going to recover, because they're going to see how low the ratings really are, and they will be demonstrated publicly to be irrelevant.
Agreed.
So, anyway, we've got another caller, 781. Welcome to the show. Who's this?
My name's Cliff. Can you hear me?
We can hear you. You're on with another caller, Doug. Might as well have you join in the conversation as well.
Well, I thought you brought me on. I'm sorry. I'm from Maine, and I had a comment on your original tooth problem there.
Okay, sure. December go ahead.
December 5th, 15, I had a nosebleed. Second nosebleed I've ever had in my life. I'm 63 years old. But I don't have any insurance. I haven't worked since I was 58 in 2009. And I only get Social Security pumping in for the last 15 months or so. So I go to the emergency room because I'm bleeding out. I bled for 6.5 days into a Rubbermaid bucket.
Holy mackerel.
And, it was nasty. But, you know, I ain't got no insurance, and I don't like doctors much because I watched them witness them kill both my parents. But I had to have something to stop the bleed. So I go into the hospital, the emergency room, 9:30 in the morning. My sister brought me there. She's very knowledgeable because she was there, right there, hands-on, helping my parents die. So the doctor comes in. He's rough. He's rude. He's non-informative, and he looks into my right nostril, and says, "Yeah, I see the bleed right there." I said, no, you can't see the bleed, because I've had, like, tampons and shit stuck up there. He pulls them all out. He says, okay. He brings my sister over and shows her the bleed, and he leaves the room. He comes back with a balloon and sticks it in my left nostril and sends me home. 2 days later, I'm back in the hospital again because I'm still bleeding, but I wrote one letter. It was probably 3-4 sentences. You're asking me to pay $881 to go to the doctor visit on December the 5th, and on December the 7th, I had to return again because I was still bleeding, because the doctor put the balloon in the wrong nostril, and they put it through a probate kind of thing, went on 2 or 3, 4 weeks. But they just sent me a letter. Your entire first visit is null and void. So, and I think it's only because I said at the very end of the last sentence is, you're asking me to pay for a visit is tantamount to no practice.
Well, the issue here that we're encountering in medicine is that the idea of a practice is going away, and it's becoming an assembly line. This dental experience I had is, you know, these guys, they want to move you through. They want to go in there and shave your tooth off and stuff, customize it for a crown in less than 40 minutes and get on to the next one. And you know, it's no cheaper than when I went to a sole practitioner. You know, they wanted $1,400 for the damn thing, and that's a lot of money. I don't have insurance either. I got to pay for this out of pocket, and man, we're just not. Our entire culture is changing in a way that is not positive for the people. It's turning to be more and more hostile. It's all about the bottom line. It's all about making a buck.
It's all about monetary.
And it's time that we, the people, you know, demand better and say, hey, look, I'm going to badmouth this place. I put together one heck of a negative review for them on Yelp, because I went on there to Yelp and looked at their other reviews. Oh, they're all glowing about how wonderful they are, what a cost-effective alternative this is. And you know what? It's stuff that they wrote themselves. They had their staff post it. You know, it's a bunch of bunk. And so I'm going to get my review up there and ding these guys. And, you know, folks, this is what we have to do. We have to demand better. We don't have to put up with this kind of BS. And, you know, not taking my – your case is a little different. Going into an ER, that's a little different. And they put the balloon in the wrong nostril. Jesus, you're lucky you weren't going in there to have your left leg amputated and came out with your right leg gone.
Exactly how I looked at it. Exactly.
You know, I mean, yeah. So how's the nosebleed now?
Oh, it's good.
Oh, good.
I have serious issues with my body. I have abused myself. I've worked on the sides of the dirtiest bio-shield in the United States in Pilgrim Nuclear Powerhouse. I've worked on tactical missile launches. I worked around some dirty shit.
Okay, so in other words, you've got some occupational hazard stuff that you're living with now that you're retired.
Well, yeah, but at the same time, I have smoked cigarettes and I drink whiskey. And all they're ever going to have to know is that I have done that in my past, and walking up the side of that bio shield to save Pilgrim Nuclear Powerhouse doesn't count. You know, you have no standing. Because you smoked a cigarette when you're 16 and we can prove it. But regardless, no. I would like to ask you a question about the Montana, Oregon thing.
Okay, go ahead, ask away.
Okay, do you see the agent provocateurs inside their group? Because I see traces.
You know, I think one of the assumptions that we as thinking people have to do is whenever you get together a group like that, you have to assume that there's going to be agent provocateurs or two or three, and they may not even be aware of each other, but they're all there to stir the pot and start the shit. And you know, it's just an assumption. Anybody who encourages you to go that extra mile, step over the line, you know, stand up and show, fire the first shot. Anybody who says that kind of stuff,
I'll be right behind you every step of the way.
yeah. Those are the ones. And you know, I kind of like how they extracted Pete Santilli out of there. You know, according to Gord Duff, he's an FBI informant. I don't know the guy. I can't say anything. But that's Duff's take on it. But like I said, I don't know what I don't know. But it's
I've listened to Santilli since I first heard of him, and I've got a bad vibe for him. I had a bad vibe for him before this started, and I had a bad vibe for him at the Bundy thing.
Well,
across clean.
Yeah, he keeps going to these things, and you know, under the guise
with better and better equipment all the time.
Well, he's somebody's paid him. You know, I mean, he's making some bucks. I had to go out and get a real job. You know, I mean, go out and sell my time and my effort in order to get a check. I'm not making any money off of this radio gig. I don't know how these other guys do it, but somehow they do. You know, I just don't understand it. You know, I mean, I'm a smart guy. I've got an MBA in finance, and I've yet to figure out how to monetize this radio gig. I guess I'm just not the smartest guy in the room anymore.
Yeah, sucks.
Yeah, it does.
Well, you got to combine it with either a web subscription, you know, to a newsletter, or you got to get advertisers. One, two.
That's where I'm at. I donated to Stu Webb when he first got on to Orion, was it? He was on with you, and there was another site that went to FunkSense. But I sent him $100 the week before that site went down. I never got an acknowledgement of the $100 from Stu. I never got an acknowledgement.
Yeah, that was the old site, the old Veterans Radio site.
What was it?
It was called Veterans Radio. It wasn't Veterans Today.
It was before that. I think it was like Orion or something like that.
Oh, that's what you're saying. Before that. Okay. Okay.
But regardless, when that transformation went through and I sent $100 and I am one broke son of a bitch. I live in a cabin, don't have running water. You know, I sent $100 because I thought what was going on there was going good. And next thing I know, that radio station's off the air. Stu Webb is turning into a maggot of some sort. You and Gordon Duff are running around, and I don't know what the hell's going on. I ain't sending no more money that I need precious to me. There are none of
them.
Hey, you know what?
Let me just remind you and every other listener out there. You know, charity starts at home. And it really does. You gotta take care of yourself and your own first. And I use the analogy a lot of the when you're on the airlines, you get on the airplane, they do that little safety thing. They always tell you put your own mask on first, and then take care of others. You know, but if you can't take care of yourself and you're that tight, keep your money in your pockets. You know, keep it at home. That's the thing. I never ask anybody for a dime. Never, ever. I just don't do it. You know, and I've received a few donations. I could probably count them on both hands and have spare fingers of the donations I've received, and I'm very grateful for all of them. I thank the people, you know, profusely for them, but I don't ask. You know, it's just not what I do. I'm still capable, and so I pay my own bills. Let's just say that.
Let me follow through on that, please. I was living in San Francisco in 2005 to 2010. I'm a union electrician, journeyman, fully qualified inside journeyman electrician. And I like Dennis Kucinich's politics. I follow the news. And when he made his run for the presidency, I sent him $500, maybe $100 first. And over the course of his campaign, I sent him over $1,500, and I could afford it then. I was making good money. And I got other people asking me for money that was obviously linking to his site. And 3 weeks before the primary in California, Dennis Kucinich dropped out of the race.
You know,
I sent him all that money to work his way all the way across the country, and he's going to have a race in California with one-tenth of the population of the entire country, and he dropped out, walked away.
Well, you know, I can't tell you what his political calculus was on that, but it does hurt.
I think it was a death threat, Ron Paul kind of thing, or a Perot kind of thing.
Yep. For a Democrat, I like you, Senator. I wish you would have ran this time. We at least have a choice.
I still like him.
This Bernie Sanders, I'm not impressed with this guy. And Hillary, I can't stand. I'd rather Barr vote for her.
Yeah, but Sanders is more of a socialist than he is anything else.
He is. How come Hillary's not indicted yet? Come on, guys. You got the goods on her.
Well, yeah, just being Hillary. In fact, Gerald Hedge is reporting that the FBI is prepared, including Direct, prepared to resign if they don't indict her soon.
Okay, guys, you want to hang on? We got a break. We'll be right back. So hang.
Actually, I got to go. I got to go eat. I got family coming over. So enjoy it.
Thanks for joining us, and we'll be back.
Okay.
I'll listen to the rest of the archive later.
We'll be back shortly, guys. All right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, good afternoon and welcome back. This is Mike Harris broadcasting on www.veteranstoday.com as well as www.freedomslips.com, Studio B Revolution Radio. And today is Thursday, January 28th, 2016. And we're taking callers today. The dial-in number for anybody who wants to dial in is 310-421-4053. And again, grab a pen, grab a paper. I'll talk real slow. 310-421-4053. And we've got our one caller hold over from the previous half hour. Welcome back.
Are you talking to me, Cliff?
I'm talking to you, yeah.
well, that thing you just did with your phone number, saying it nice and slow and pausing it between the two revisions, is the only reason I got through to you tonight.
Oh, good.
I've tried many, many other times to copy the number down, and I've never found the pen or the paper and all of that to get it done with. So I think you should keep doing that.
Well, I will, and it's good to get feedback that something I'm doing is effective. I'm glad that's one of the things. So that's the whole thing. You know, when you're on this end of the microphone and you do a radio show like this, I don't know if I'm talking to myself sometimes. I don't know what the audience base is out there. And having callers call in is really a good measure for me. And it really helps because it's the only feedback I get. Nobody else says anything. I get some emails now and then that'll say, hey, great show, or you know, I disagreed with your guest, or you know, whatever. But I don't get much direct interaction. So whenever I do shows that have callers, I kind of like them. Because you get to talk to regular folk, you know, it's just a normal thing.
It does bring controversy, though.
Well, it's not a matter of controversy. It's a matter of doing the right thing and not going along with the crowd because they tell you to. You know, I mean, I don't care what other people think. You know, I am what I am. I am who I am. And if they don't like it, you know, too bad for them. I do things the best way that I know how, and I don't really subject myself to much, you know, much of that other criticism and things. So it doesn't matter what they think about me. Tell you what the bad guys think. You know, like I said, I think our government's horribly mismanaged. What are they going to do? You know,
malmanaged,
exactly. It is malmanaged. So you've obviously a long term listener because I've used that term before.
I heard from you, and I believe it is malmanagement, and it's done on purpose. It has intentional.
I think it is, too. I think it all goes back to the concept there are people out there who profit off of the suffering of others, so they want to keep these dysfunctional things working and in place.
Yep, dude. And if you go into the pedophile thing of all these world leaders we got, it's not just dysfunctional. It's apparent that they are evil.
This whole pedophile thing, and let me talk about that a little bit because, you know, kids are meant to be protected. They're not meant to be abused. They're not meant to be exploited. They're meant to be protected so they can grow up and be the best what they can be. And anybody who would do that to a child.
Let me say that I have raised a single daughter as a single father. I know about raising children.
You know what I'm talking about then. And if anybody would ever touch my kid in any way like that, I would have to destroy them. I mean, just there's no ifs, there's no ands, there's no buts. And we have another caller joining us from area code 313. Welcome. Who are we talking to?
John in Dearborn Heights.
Hey, John. Well, welcome to the show. Welcome to the discussion.
Oh, I'm glad. I always enjoy listening to you and the other writers from Veterans Today. But I had a question, not to get off topic too much, but it was, you know, about Putin. And if he's got the evidence of 9/11, why isn't he bringing it forward? And I'm thinking to myself that this government's probably got some kind of evidence against him to give him a black eye, and that's why he's not coming forward.
Well, at Veterans Today, we've asked him for the 9/11 evidence, and we've also asked him for John McCain's files from his internment during the Vietnam War up in Hanoi.
That's right, yeah.
And so far, they've not produced it. We've been told that they're considering our request. And I tell you what, if I was Putin, I'd drop the hammer on these guys. See, you know, nobody's got clean hands completely. I mean, everybody's done something sometime. But
right.
he can't do anything as bad as what the West has done, what our leadership has done. I mean, I don't see any comparison. And sometimes, as a world leader, as a leader of a sovereign nation, what will you do to protect your people, your country, and your culture? What will you do? This is a legitimate and fair question, and this is a question that every American should be asking themselves now, as individuals. What will each of us do to protect our country, our people, our culture? And I don't care what Putin's done. I don't know what he's done. But if he's done something bad, let's make a judgment. But we can't trust anything the media says because it's all propaganda.
Well, you're
okay,
right.
May I say something?
Sure, go ahead. Chime in. That's why you're here.
The not producing satellite photos is the same thing as when he went into the Black Sea and he took down the Donald Duck destroyer.
Yeah.
He did that just out of the blue. He went into the Black Sea and he launched missiles in 1,500 miles and hit dead nut center. First time they ever saw that. He's not giving away any information about how he gets his information any more than the Bundy Ranch is not going to show us the police camcorders of what actually happened there. They don't want us to know what they can do. I'm done talking to you. I'm listening.
Well, that's a smart thing, and that is by divulging what you know in your satellite surveillance, you do give your adversary a good insight into what your capabilities are.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, I know that all these advocates of freedom, when they talk about Agenda 21 and the different bills that are coming across the different states, you know, you write to your state legislators, and you don't get a lot of feedback. Same thing with the federal legislators. You know, it's like you get the switchboard and you talk to somebody in an office, and they occasionally, you know, they vote against something that's good, like the keeping the airways on the internet free, but that's in the crosshairs of those evildoers. A program like yours, where you can
that's the point. They don't want guys like me talking to guys like you. I mean, they just don't want that because, you know, God forbid, more people listen and more people listen, and next thing you know, we're a political movement. We've got some force and effectiveness. They're scared to death of this.
Well, I believe it. That every now and then, when you try to get together with the other editors, the interference that they run, whether it's from Huachuca or wherever it comes from.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want nobody to know. And I really wish, you know, my peers, because I'm a senior citizen, and most of my peers are retired, but none of them are really into the computer. And I tell them that I listen to the radio and, you know, try to address my congressman or, you know, whatever. And it's a useful tool in that regard, but... if there could only be somehow like a network of local cable stations where they give local access, you know, some sort of community to start up to preach this word. Because I remember at one time there used to be here in Dearborn Heights on the cable channel a local access, and they would talk about the Rothschilds and the the history of the Russian taking down I'm trying to think of the Bolsheviks, there you go, and you know, where you'd be able to pass the word out about Newelson. Think of her name, the one over there in the Ukraine.
Newland.
Yeah,
Victoria Newland. And she's
oh, man.
back She went back home to Khazaria there to take it over to kill the Russian population and to put Khazarians back in place over there. That's the rub I got on that. But your earlier point about your state representatives and your federal representatives, you know, senators, congressmen and stuff, is the point is that the attitude I get from them is that, hey, look, we went to the trouble to get elected, and so don't bother us with your opinion. We're going to do what we want anyhow.
Yeah.
That's kind of what I get.
Yeah, because if they do make a fuss, they'll redistrict them, and they'll be out of luck. No money. Give them bad press.
Well,
I'm trying to think of that black senator from Georgia. I think
Cynthia McKinney.
Cynthia McKinney. Thank you. Yeah.
Yeah. You have to understand what a congressman and a senator's primary job is. You know what their primary job is?
Get reelected.
That's it. Bingo. That's all they care about. They want to get reelected again and again and again. And
I almost think that those that now I'm not referring to the pedophilia evildoers, but the ones that don't toe the line, somehow they get caught up in an affair and it's thrown in their face and they're out of office. You know, if you don't drink the Kool-Aid and do what they tell you, they'll find a way to get rid of you.
Yep, or they'll find a way to keep you out and never let you in. You know, that's really kind of the problem. Many people have told me that's the problem that I had when I ran for governor of Arizona, is that there was no dirt on me. They couldn't find anything. I mean, I lived my life pretty, you know, straight and narrow, like kind of a Boy Scout, you know. And the only thing they found is that I had an acrimonious divorce and an ex-wife who doesn't like me very much, and they played her like a fiddle.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, Mike. If I can just tell from listening to you, reading some of your editorial things, that, you know, we need a lot of Mike Harris's. We really do. And I know probably at times, you know, you get set up with trying to deal with life and this radio show that at times they just take the ability away from you to broadcast. But I'm trying to figure out a way to get a laptop and download some of this stuff and take it to, you know, like the VFW hall or something, even though you're not supposed to be political. But, you know, I go there, I met the Rothschild. Nobody knows what I'm talking about.
Well, that's the thing. These Rothschild characters have done a real good job at staying out of the public eye. They put front men and cutouts in front for them so that other people do the heavy lifting, but they're the guys calling the shots in the back room.
Oh, yeah, for a long time. Since Napoleon.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, you look at this, you look at Napoleon's aggression against Russia, all Khazarian mafia stuff, all of that was funded by the Khazarian mafia. They got the French to attack them. They got the Germans to attack them. They've got, you know, they hate the Russians. They had the Bolshevik Revolution. These Khazarians hate the Russians. And it's because, you know, it was Russia and it was Persia. Now we call it Iran, were the ones that brought down the Khazarian Empire. And 1,000 years ago, you know, they haven't forgotten it. They haven't forgiven it. They're still waging, a 1,000-year war against these people. Well, you're going to be okay there? Okay.
Yeah. Well,
I'm sorry. I forgot.
Well, we hear you cough. Just check it. Just make sure you're all right. We don't want to lose you here. You know, I don't have enough listeners as it is. I need to keep everyone.
I smoke. I'm sorry, bro.
Yeah. Well, you know, getting back to the fact that they've been pretty successful since back when they told them to adopt a religion, those Khazarians that you know, they really got a good network from the beginning, and with getting into that gold that I forget what was Rothschild's name before they changed it.
Bauer.
Bauer. Isn't that the same name of the fella, the alcohol kingpin in Canada?
No, that's Bronfman. He's one of their butt boys.
But they do change the names when they go from language to language. They're very good at that.
Yeah.
Well, that's one of the things they do is they always claim to be somebody they're not, and they'll move into an area, and if they move into a German area, they'll take all German names. If they move into a Spanish area, they'll take Spanish names. Yep. Wherever they go, they are chameleons. And
reminds me of the Fabian Society, sheeps and wolf clothing.
Sheeps and wolf clothing, and the other thing with the yep. Fabian Society is incremental change. You know, if we only get we got 10,000 miles to go, but if we get an inch, we've made progress. And
generational,
they're just ruthless that way. And you know, we have to start thinking the same way. And that's why I've said several times on the show that we need to get a vision for not only where we want to be next year, and 5 years from now, and 10 years from now, and 50 years from now, but 100 years and 500 years. Where do we want to go? Because if we don't lay the foundation for where we want to be in 100 years and 500 years today, they're going to lay the foundation, and we're going to have to live by their rules. And I don't like their rules.
We need a functional means of communication to form what you're asking for there, Mike. I mean, how are we going to get a functional plan if we don't have the functional people?
Well, that's the point, and they've been working on us. I mean, they've been dumbing us down. I mean, you know, I know many people have seen that test. Well, so my grandfather only graduated from the eighth grade. Well, you go back to 1908 and you look at what the eighth grade exam was like, and hey, there's some challenges in that eighth grade exam. They educated us to a higher level, and they've been you know, taking it away, lowering the bar consistently ever since, to where people with a college degree can't pass the eighth grade test that was in 1908, 107 years ago, 108 years ago.
Yeah.
1908, 20 years before that was 1988. And right around that time is when Frederick Gates took over the Rockefeller money to make Rockefeller look good and hide his money. And the National Education Board was one of the very first propositions he made. Are you familiar with the occasional letter number one from Frederick Gates?
No, I am not. I am not.
Oh, let me restate it. Occasional letter number one, Frederick Gates, money manager of John D. Rockefeller, somewhere in 1880s. He says right there, and he's soliciting money from all the other oligarchs, the Carnegies, everybody that owned every monopoly, for establishing the National Education Board for the country, for us. We don't need any more poets. We don't need any more scientists. What we need is children of our workers now doing more effectively what their parents did, without asking for anything more. And that's what the National Education System is built on. And he said right in that letter that we will support it for the first couple of years here, but afterwards we'll transfer it onto the public dole. We're going to pay for our own enslavement. It's Frederick Gates.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, I believe... They did their long-term planning speaks for itself.
No, it's long-term.
Yeah.
I have another accurate one that I can give you. It's 1886, Supreme Court Justice Roland Morris Remington White was a skull and bones member 4 years after his foundation in 1836. It was started in 1832, 4 years later, 1838. He was a skull and bones member. He was on the judge advocate system that prosecuted John Wilkes Booth for the assassination of Abraham Lincoln. He later went home to his home district in Ohio and got elected to Congress. At the same year, the first Knight Templar Lodge of the Grand Masters of Ancient and Ancestral Nations was formed 20 miles away. He was the Supreme Court Justice that decided that corporations were the persons under the Constitution of the United States. They were citizens under the Constitution. And he just said it before the court even opened it. But it's been recorded down since and never, ever successfully challenged. If we just take away that 1886 resolution, that this man said, this one man, just because you're the Supreme Court, we're not going to hear any arguments about personhood because we accept them. And none of the other justices had any input to it. And ever since, it's never been successfully claimed. The litigants are killed. The trials are rigged right now today. If we just get away from that corporate personhood, we could get our Constitution.
I tell you what, another thing is that, you know, most people don't know this, but corporations are set up so that they exist into perpetuity. And I think if they would have to sunset out every 10 or 20 years, it would sure change the mix a great deal and would bring a lot of transparency back. But your point about corporate personhood is very, very well taken. And I'm sorry, corporations aren't people. They don't have a heart. They don't have a brain. They don't live
and
breathe. They don't walk around.
They
don't
die. They do not die.
And they don't die. That's what my comment was about. You preempted me on that. But that's the issue, this corporate personhood thing. This needs to be reversed.
Yeah. They don't have any liability either.
Oh, no. They can be fined, but that's about it. But when's the last time somebody hung a corporation?
Personal profits, yeah. Social liability.
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a slick system, and it's enslaving us all. And it's time for us to think outside the box and come up with some creative solutions to get around this, and not live that way. All right, guys, we've got a break. I'm going to let the two guys who've been on for this segment. I'm going to let you guys go. We've got a new caller, 831. Stick on. You're first up when we get back. Okay, guys.
Thanks, Mark.
I would like to compliment the other caller that we had. Bye.
Oh, I know. Don't they have the greatest callers? They're smart, well educated. They know it. They got it going. We'll be right back, folks. Stick with us. Well, welcome back. This is Mike Harris broadcasting on www.veteranstoday.com, also broadcasting on www.freedomslips.com, Studio B Revolution Radio. And I was hoping the caller from area code 831 was going to hold on over the break, and I will encourage him or her to call back because we'll get you right up. We'll get you right in. Anyway, right now I have no callers, but the dial-in number is 310-421-4053. And again, let's go ahead and I'll give it out again. Like I always say every time, grab a pen, grab a paper. And I'm glad the previous caller from Maine, I'm glad that worked for him, that I speak real slow, and because sometimes finding a pen or paper is tough, you know. But let me give the number out again. Prepare yourself. Here it comes. 310-421-4053. And I really liked both of the earlier callers because they're knowledgeable. I tell you, that's why I like taking callers, because there's some smart people out there who know a lot of stuff. You know, I'm a pretty smart guy. I know a lot of things, but I don't know everything. And so when I get to have people come on who are well-versed, well-educated, know what they're talking about, it is just it's a pleasure for me. It's because it's a learning experience. It's a growing experience for me. It's something I enjoy very, very much. It's, I made the commitment when I was very, very young to be a lifelong learner and to keep an open mind and to always try to learn new things. And it's working for me so far, and I want more of it. So I'm sort of out of topic right now, because I was hoping to have that 831 caller on there. And like I say, I encourage him or her to please call back, or anyone else who wants to call in, please do that as well, because we got another hour to go and a lot of time. And like I said, I don't know if I've got another hour of monologue in me because, like I said, I don't have the time that I used to have. I had to get a full-time job, and I work that. I do the radio show, and it keeps me busy. And, you know, time has become scarce for me, where before when I was only had a part. Oh, we have our 831 caller back. Welcome. How are you?
Yeah, I'm fine. Is that me right now?
That's you right now. You're up.
Okay. Yes, sir. Hi, Mike. I just wanted to see. Have you been talking a lot about like free energy and different things like Tesla and how we're kind of kept into this backward science now that everything explodes and pollutes and harms our environment instead of the free energy of Tesla and other great scientists. Just wondering if you had been discussing any of that before.
When I had Gordon Duff on last Thursday for the first hour, Gordon talked about that in some depth. And,
good.
You know, and really, it is. It's a topic, and the time for this free energy stuff to be released is now. I mean, we're sitting on the edge of a sea change here, if you will. I mean, the world is changing around us quickly, and you know the bad guys are trying to control it. They don't want to give up control, but they have to. It's time. So
yeah, no, that'd be great. It's kind of funny how we haven't heard of Tesla until just like in the last 10, 12 years. I didn't hear about him when I grew up.
That's all suppressed knowledge. It's all suppressed, and the Tesla was suppressed. The work of Maxwell was suppressed. The work of Schauberger has been suppressed. All this stuff is that this is all. I mean, we've had everything in the world of physics and engineering that we needed to live. You know, the Star Trek lifestyle they developed 100+ years ago, and it's been kept from us.
Yeah, I've heard recently too that even Einstein was not that brilliant. And he wasn't the man we've been led to believe he actually was. I mean, he wasn't a dumb guy, but he wasn't this incredibly brilliant physicist.
Let me say this about that, because you brought up something. You know, Einstein's job before he was, quote, discovered, was he was placed in the patent office. And his job was to review patents. Now, who do you think put him in that office? And what do you think his function was? I think his function was to suppress technology in that office, because he led us down the opposite path of the greater minds.
Exactly. There you go. And I heard that his professors wouldn't even give him the go-ahead, the thumbs up for any jobs. He had to go circumcise around them because of his Jewish friends. They were able to find him a way to get into the physical, you know, the world, get him a job in physics, because his own professors wouldn't. Which I find very interesting. And the whole thing about him and that, you know, he had went through a kind of an ugly divorce. And that was all suppressed. So those files, you know, about his divorce were actually suppressed. And so,
here's the bottom line. Here's the bottom line.
He didn't do it right.
If you're favored by the bad guys, they will make you look like you're a star. And you know, they will build you up. They will promote you. They will do everything. If you're not favored by the bad guys, they'll make you look like you're a monster. And when really you might be a stand-up guy. And so we've got to go back and we've got to reevaluate our icons of history as to who they really were. I mean, I look at Eisenhower. Yeah. And I look at him as really a brutal butcher who allowed the death of 8 million Germans after the war was over. You know,
Dresden. Yeah,
look at these things. It's too much. It's too much. Anyway, we've got two other callers on. We got a 623 caller.
Okay, thank you, Mike. I appreciate your time and I appreciate what you're doing. And have a great day.
Well, thank you, but I'm not meaning to ask you to get off. I ask you to join the conversation anyway. 623, welcome, and 248, welcome. Welcome to the show. Who are we talking to?
Well, Mike, this is your old friend Bob.
Hey, Bob, how you been? I was hoping you'd call in today, honest to God.
Well, how does it feel to be down here in the desert?
Well, right now I'm in Oregon currently, but I'm heading back down there soon.
Well, are you getting settled in and things squared away for you down here?
Yes, sir. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Do you think that you're going to be getting into Arizona politics? I'm making a joke, Mike.
You know, when that dog bites you once, you think real twice about trying to pet it twice.
Since I had last talked to you, it has even gotten worse, because now the McCain cabal has taken over the state chairmanship of the GOP, and it's just been this lock'em sock'em fight that's gone on with the precinct committeemen and the present Arizona state chairman of the GOP, and it's really, it's sickening. It really is.
Well, you know, it just shows you the power that McCain has in the state. Now, you know, don't make any bones about it. In my opinion, the guy's a crook. He's a terrible, terrible politician. He does a disservice to his constituents, and he's only in it for himself. And in my opinion, he works for the Bronfman crime family out of Canada, we talked about earlier. And how he can control the local politics. You know, he got embarrassed whenever he got sanctioned by the Maricopa County Republican Party. And he decided that no more of this. I won't be embarrassed in my home state.
Well, I personally have gotten involved at the precinct level, and I got to see firsthand where how McCain and the cabal bought off the Arizona State Chairman GOP, and I even saw the spreadsheet of some of the money that was spent, and I just turned on my heels and I said, you know what? There's really not a whole lot we can do right now. And I had thought that if some common sense people could get a hold of and control at least the state legislature, that, you know, we could do something. But I'm fast fading from that concept.
Well, we have a government that doesn't work for us. And, you know, at one time I was a precinct committee captain. Wow. And, you know, it's just so difficult to work your way up, and you're dealing with the same people who've been sitting in that room for, you know, 20, 30 years sometimes. And they really need fresh blood in politics, and we need change. And I don't know what to say. I'm out of words for it.
Yeah. Well, listen, I'm going to get off the phone, let your other caller talk. I just wanted to say hello and welcome back down to the desert.
Well, Bob, thank you so much, and stay in touch. Don't be a stranger.
All righty.
Thank
Bye-bye.
You, sir. Okay, caller 248 area code. Welcome. Who am I talking to?
Yes, hello, Mike. This is Suzanne calling from Michigan. How are you this evening?
I am well, Suzanne. How are you? And welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. I'm sorry I called in because of your request. Looking, there were no callers, and I might be off topic for your show.
Well, you know what? Let's just call this off topic day. So anybody out there has something they want to talk about, you know, no holds bar.
All right, fair enough. I have something on my mind that I'd like to alert your listeners to, because one of the big topics today, literally, is talking about this federal land grab stuff that's going on, right?
Yep.
And Agenda 21. And I know that a lot of this seems to, at least I'm from Michigan, so people think, oh, that's something that's happening in the West. It's not happening to the rest of us. Nothing could be further from the truth. And I just wanted to bring up a couple things that's happening certainly in my area, which is consistent along the lines of slowly but surely the federal government taking our land without our knowledge and without any understanding whatsoever. And it's happening even in my own community. Here I am in Michigan. And it's done very stealthily. But I hope to bring something up that I think a lot of your listeners might be able to relate to, and some interesting information.
Do tell.
Okay. I live in an affluent community north of Detroit, very affluent, so much so that it's been taken as a wildlife area under Agenda 21. Fair enough?
Uh-huh.
So we are considered wetlands area in our community. Now, I've personally lived here for 26 years. And one thing I wanted to bring up, and I think a lot of listeners can relate to this, stealthily, here's some things that are happening. In the area that I live in, very large, large swath of property too, maybe 20 square miles for the township that I live in. Under Agenda 21, they've declared it, you know, wetlands area. And it's true because we have a lot of big houses, you know, a lot of communities here, and we're in an old growth forest. So really, within the township I live in, let's say, for the most part, depending on whether it's, you know, oak tree, cedar tree, we're talking major trees here. You know, don't call me a liar if I'm off by 5 or 10 feet, but we're talking maybe 75 feet, 100 feet in the trees. Well, boy, is that considered to be wetlands area and something they want to protect. When our communities were built here north of Detroit, there were large development opportunities for what they would call subdivisions. And those subdivisions had, you know, a developer came in, they developed it, number of houses that occurred within the subdivisions, and we had an association. And when the developer was done and the houses start to be sold, correct, he would pass that over to the people and say, now under the association, here's the rules of engagement, and you must have now a president, a treasurer, a secretary, and so on and so forth of your subdivision. Mm-hmm. But with that, and it's very consistent amongst all the different subdivisions within a very large swath, I'd say 30 miles, so multiple subdivisions. But the terminology and the nomenclature within those documents is almost the same. The policy, somebody wrote the policy, is very much the same. So when we first moved in and bought our houses, there's clauses in there that say, here's your association dues for your subdivision per year, and it had a price. And in this fine print, it said that cannot exceed plus or minus 5% without a 75% vote of the majority of the homeowners.
So they're requiring a supermajority to raise the rates.
Correct. Now, I moved in 26 years ago. It was $110, to give you an exact figure, for my subdivision. The subdivision next to me was built subsequently, maybe roughly about 2 years later, so they had about $200. The next subdivision, about a mile down the road, they had $210. To give you an idea, and this is as things progressed. But they cannot move that without a supermajority. Well, that the rules of our association say we don't own our roads, but we have to take care of them.
Mm-hmm. Okay? Okay. So,
as one example.
Who owns the roads?
Okay. The answer to who really owns the roads is the county owns the roads or the state owns the roads. They don't plow our roads. They don't take care of our roads. And yet, underlying, they own the roads. But in our association documents everywhere here within a large swath, we're responsible for maintaining those roads. So if we want to go to work in the morning, we pay every winter out of our dues to have, for example, our roads plowed.
Okay.
Okay. And we've done this for a lot of years, but at $110 in their 62 homes, we're basically going bankrupt right now. We can't afford to do it. The cost just to plow the roads is excessive, and we can't raise the cost because we can't get a consensus amongst a large number of homeowners. Now, we're at $110 per month, just to give you an example. The next subdivision over was at $210. They went bankrupt. The next subdivision over from them was built later on. Now, these are all within about 5 years, to give you an example, right? Because of mm-hmm. inflation and the money cost.
Well, what happens when a homeowners association goes bankrupt? What effect does that have?
That's a really good question. So what happens? Under Agenda 21 right now, in our own homeowners, we have a fair amount of property here that's common property amongst our association.
Okay.
And it's now considered wetlands, which they control.
So let's see. You've got these. Let's say 100 homes, yes. And they're on 75 acres. And you've got 20 acres of common ground that is the commons. And
that's
so since it went bankrupt, now they've declared that wetlands. And who owns the wetlands? The feds?
Correct. Agenda 21. This is all Agenda 21. And this is so egregious and getting to be egregious. In the last 6 months alone, I've received 3 notifications from the township that I live in that says, well, we're required to send you notification if you live within 300 feet of a homeowner who wants to take a tree down on his property to get permission. And they have to get a permit, and they've got this craziness out there in the township, depending on what, remember, I said we're old hardwood trees here. So they have all these crazy things on their website for the township that says, okay, if you have an oak tree, it's 100 foot tall, diameters, that whatever, they're charging us for that. And to give you a rough idea, and this is rough, don't call me a liar, it's rough. If you have the oak trees, I have 8 in my front yard, for example. If I were to take one of them down because it's falling on my home, which is what's been happening a little bit here, when you get a lot of growth, they're close to your homes, your responsible citizens, if it's falling into your home or going to damage your home or people come into your property, you might want to cut it down. Well, here's what you're going to pay to the township if you cut that 100-foot tree down. And we're talking in the range of $3,000 to $4,000 per tree that you own on your own property to put into their slush fund.
I wouldn't cut it down. I'd probably radically prune it.
Well, I'm just saying this is what's happening. But what they're doing subdivision by subdivision here, and this is extremely affluent in north of Detroit, is they're bankrupting the subdivisions because they cannot raise their rates, okay, in order to maintain. And now we have the county coming into the road saying, if you can't maintain them.
So you have to pay for the maintenance, but the county comes in and can raise your rates for what they charge you to clear the roads
arbitrarily. Well, here's what they're saying. No. They're coming in now saying, if you can't maintain these roads, we're charging you per square footage of your own lot line, if you will, to repave the road. And just to give an example, with my little home, we're talking $15,000 cash.
Okay.
Got it?
Yep.
And they're doing this subdivision by subdivision. So the point being, they've set this up to default each subdivision, because they can't raise their rates, to get everybody to pay for the roads that belong to the county or belong to the state who aren't paying for it. And it is just one by one by one bankrupting these very affluent communities in order for them to take over the common property that we all own.
You need to talk to Greg Morris.
Yes, I love Greg Morris, and I agree. Here's my point. It's just on my mind. I get it. I'm very knowledgeable about what's going on. The problem is, it isn't just here in northern Detroit. I think it might be helpful for other of your listeners to understand, if you live in a place where developers do have associations, they were set up to fail. That's my point.
Yep, gotcha.
And when they fail, the purpose is to come in and scoop that up under federal or state land.
Well, you live there 26 years. How old is the house?
26 years old.
Okay, so that's a lifetime ago. That's an entire generation, 25 years to a generation. Mm-hmm. They planned this a generation in advance. They knew where this was going then.
Absolutely.
It brings me back to my point that I make several times, is that, you know, most people have a hard time coming up with a five-year plan. Who can come up with a multi-generational plan like that unless they've got a different time scale than most normal human beings live on? That's the only thing I can think of.
this plan has been going on for a very long period of time. You and I both proved it. And about a mile down the street in that third subdivision, which is now going bankrupt, I bought a second home, which I moved my senior elderly mother into. So mm-hmm. I get it from both sides here. But my point to your audience is this is happening all over, not just here. But this is a systematic plan to take the lands away from the people. I can't speak with any specificity about what's happening out here in this Oregon thing. I don't get it. There's too much confusion for me. But I can say with certainty from my own experience, there is a very long-standing plan here to take lands away from the people systematically to take it to the government. That I know for a fact.
Mm-hmm. So this is across the board. And, you know, it's not just in this country either.
Absolutely.
It's going on everywhere where these this is truly the globalist agenda, that this is what's upon us.
Correct.
And if you look
Correct.
Who the globalists are, the globalists are the same people who are the Khazarian mafia. They wear the same hats. And, you know, I'm going to take a little tangent here, but one of the things I need to point out to people is that whenever you watch, like, the Academy Awards or the Oscars, you know what that is? That's the Khazarian mafia making movies or doing other things and telling each other how great they are and giving each other awards. That's how they legitimize themselves. That's how they buy themselves recognition and buy themselves standing in the community. And it goes on all the time around us, and nobody sees it. Nobody gets it. We just go along. Oh, got to watch the Academy Awards. See who had the best dress. It's all nonsense. It's all meaningless nonsense. And this is what they do. It's time to look at these people for who and what they really are, and take them on. Let's go. Stand up, fight. They lose every time.
Yes, I agree with you, and I haven't had a TV for 15 years, so I'm not the most popular person amongst my peers because it's hard to talk to people anymore.
But you know
any of the Oscars. I don't know any of the Hollywood celebrities. I spend my time educating myself or doing my own business. I'm self-sufficient.
And you're probably a much, much, much happier and satisfied person because of it.
Yes.
Because, I mean, television, they call it programming for a reason. And it's to get you to do what they want. They want to train you to do what they want you to do, not what's good for you.
Yes.
So, anyway.
But I have one last comment I'd like to make based upon the story I just told. Who are making these rules for the Agenda 21 wetlands? If anybody goes out and looks up the wetlands project in the United States, I've blown that darn thing up, and I'm telling you it's happening right here where I live. And my issue is this. Not only do we need to take care of the financial situation, which is why I called in before. I had to call in tonight because you asked for callers. But probably more importantly, because last time I called in, Doug was on, and I called in when Wayne Jett was on. I follow the money, and that's very important to me to understand exactly what's happening here. One last thing, and then I'm done. One last thing I want to leave your audience with, though, is this plan that's coming down on Agenda 21 in our own communities is coming through the United Nations. Why don't, when I called in before, I called in to say, I want the military to come in and to close down U.S. Inc., put the money over to the Treasury, send it back to the states where we can take care of it. But my last and final comment that nobody talks about, the United States people need to get out of the United Nations. This is a huge cause of concern for us. I'm done.
Well, don't cook. I've got a comment here. I have a response. And that is, what's going on here is that there is an asymmetrical war being waged against the American people. And the other side, the bad guys, you know, that's what I call them, they're so paranoid that they don't believe that just one plan can do it. They've got 50 plans out there working in parallel against the American people at any given time. I don't care if it's the financial system. I don't care if it's Agenda 21. I don't care if it's Monsanto poisoning the world with Roundup and GMO foods. They've got dozens of things lined up that are meant to take this country down and render it into their hands and take it from ours. And that's what, whether it's uncontrolled immigration, name it. I mean, they're attacking us on virtually every front that affects human existence. And that's really what's going on here. And that's what we're dealing with. And it overwhelms most people. And that's why they form these think tanks and these study groups and things to, and they've sectored it off so that you're this think tank, this is your problem, solve it, give us a solution. And that's what they do, and we're totally unprepared for this. We don't see it coming. Mm-hmm. Well, Suzanne, we've got a break. You want to hang on, or should I let you go?
I'll hang on if you want me to.
All right, we'll be back in a couple of minutes, folks. Just give us a few. We'll be right back after the short break. Well, good evening and welcome back. This is Mike Harris broadcasting on www.veteranstoday.com, as well as www.freedomslips.com, Studio B, Revolution Radio. Today is Thursday, January 28th, 2016, and I'm taking callers today, and I'll give out the dial-in number. Hope we get another caller or two or three. The number is 310-421-4053. And again, grab the pen, grab the paper, try to write it down, 310-421-4053. And anyway, Suzanne, welcome back.
Yes, thank you. I'm sorry I took way too much of your time.
No. Yeah. Actually, what you're talking about is a problem that is a real problem that a lot of people face. And, you know, anytime I've had interactions with the Homeowners Association, they've always been like Nazis. And, you know, they're I don't even want to say that. They're a bit like Bolsheviks. I think the Nazis probably weren't the bad guys that they've been portrayed to be. They're more like Bolsheviks. Let's speak accurately here. But, this is a problem that everybody's had. And the fact that these things were designed to fail as a function of time is an interesting phenomenon that no one's pointed out to me before. And the fact that they're going bankrupt and the feds are coming in and claiming the common land as their own, as a wetland, and making it off out of reach of anybody, because you bought that land. If there's 100 acres in 100 homes and 20 acres of it is common area, you own 1% of that, and they're stealing that from you.
Let me make sure that I'm very clear. In my homeowners association are the same. They couldn't get people to show up to vote to be a president, vice president, treasurer, secretary. So unfortunately, the early people here that are trying to keep all this together, they're wonderful people like myself, right? So I do not have the issue that you're talking about with dictatorship in the homeowners association. This was just dropped in regular people's laps here are good
you do
people.
It.
Yes.
Yeah. No, I could tell you, I have a funny story about a homeowners association. I mean, I was living in Scottsdale, Arizona, and they put in the mailbox one day, it says, due to the problem with cockroaches, please leave your garbage cans outside of your garage, because I guess there was a problem. And so they everybody put their garbage cans out. It was that time of the year and stuff when, they fall off the palm trees and stuff. And so a few months later, they decided that, put your garbage cans back in the garage. And so they tried to find some people who didn't do that. And I was one of them. And I just showed them their note and said, we still had a problem. The cockroaches are always going to exist. I'm leaving my garbage can outside the garage. So there's nothing they can do when they send out their own mandates. Anyway. I digress.
Yeah. For me, it's completely different. It's just a small house full of people here that have lived here for 26 years of the original owners that are trying to keep this beautiful place we live in together on $110 per homeowner. And then for those that don't pay, you chase them around, right?
It's a lot of work
to keep this thing going. But nonetheless, despite that we're able to make that work, we have a bigger hammer coming down on our head, which is you're required to have certain insurance. You're required to have this and that. And yet we can't raise our rates no matter what. And they're coming in and subdivision by subdivision, period, in the area I live, very affluent area, they're taking our land and they're taking our common property that we paid for.
Let me ask the next question because, nothing is ever cast in concrete. You have a homeowners association.
Yes.
What would it take to disband the homeowners association and rewrite the bylaws?
Well, I was one of the people that had to look into this piece by piece. You can't do that out of the gate. We're trying to limp along here till a bigger national picture gets resolved, okay?
And if you're strategic and
you're smart, one of the things we can do here, we don't want to disband our association, but what we do want to do under the laws that we're allowed to, we need 10 homeowners to stand up to the plate and sign over our roads to the county.
Gotcha. And the other thing.
Okay, so now we're going to screw things up here because we're giving them back their roads and saying we're not going to maintain it. Now, on our side over here with the people that are not knowledgeable are all upset because they're like, well, how are we going to go to work? They're not going to plow it. They're not coming, and they don't do any of that. Nothing says we can't still pay with our $110, a piece to plow our roads. We're simply going to hand their deed back to them within our homeowners association, and that will work temporarily.
Well, let me
where
give you
they're
another
not
thought.
Coming in to say, we're going to pave your roads, it's time, and they assess us, and in my case, it's $15,000.
Let me give you another possible scenario, okay?
Yeah.
If your homeowners association files bankruptcy, you or your homeowners group can file a petition as debtor in possession, and then that will give you the flexibility to rewrite your bylaws without much fanfare.
May I respectfully submit to you, not under Agenda 21. They took our common property here.
Well, they can't do that.
It's called
theft, and it sounds to me like you've got a
great
federal
lawsuit.
Sounds like you got a federal case here is what it sounds like.
Yeah, it's great.
But,
all right. Are we going to go through all this? My point is, can we go through all this? All I'm saying is I'm making your audience aware it's not just what's happening here. It's the next one over, and it's happening all over. People have to pay attention. So, you're right.
Now, it's sounding like it's becoming a federal class action lawsuit the more you talk.
Yes.
And that's big money. It's going to be a federal court against the federal government, or against the UN is what it's going to ultimately end up being. But I agree with you.
Who's going to pay for it? I can't.
I understand. You're going to have to find a pro bono attorney who'll take it, who's brave and has a backbone to him.
Yeah.
But I think you are correct that the U.S. needs to pull out of the U.N. It hasn't done us a bit of good. Yeah. It's a toothless old hound that couldn't even if it bit somebody. It's got nothing to it. It's nothing.
Well, these are treaties with the U.N. So in this big picture of things we've been talking about now for quite some time, for the U.S. citizens, we need to pull out. And this is one of them. We don't need to go fight it in federal court. We need to get out of the United Nations and get out of these damn treaties. That's my final comment.
Okay. Well, you're well spoken as always, and you're well researched, and it's a delight to have you on.
And I'm sorry to take so much of your time. You were on a roll, and you didn't want to hear this, but I do think it's important for the listeners who think this, you know, land grab, things that are happening to other people in the West and they're disengaged? No, no. It's happening right here in Michigan. They just don't realize what's happening.
Well, I wonder, you know, if it's prevalent on the East Coast and in the South as well. I mean, that would be an interesting comment to ask. Yeah, it is. It's the same everywhere. It doesn't matter. It's you know, yeah. everybody's being affected by it. So
that's it.
Okay.
What else
you got?
I just wanted to make your listeners aware of something that's really impacting all of us. And maybe to a little different degree, but if you look at the bigger picture, you'll see it is impacting all of us.
Mm-hmm. Got it.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, thanks for the call.
Thank you so much, and I'm sorry to take you off your topic taking my call.
All right, Suzette. Thank you so much. Have a nice evening.
Could I ask just one last question before I went that's been on my mind? I've been dying to ask you.
Go ahead. One last question. What do you got?
One last question. What's going on with Leo Wanta, and why don't we hear anything from him, and is there anything legitimate to that?
I think Leo Wanta is a good stand-up guy. I think very, very highly of him. I think very, very well of him. I think that he's been... he won't go anywhere or go any place or say anything without this guy, Lon Gibby, who has attached himself to Lee Wanta like a barnacle. And I'm not impressed with Lon Gibby. I don't know him. I don't trust him. I just think that Lee is being diverted from his real intention and real path because of it. You know, like I said, nothing against Lon Gibby, but I saw more out of Lee Wanta before Lon Gibby became involved than after Lon Gibby became involved.
Well, so Lon Gibby told us we were getting a movie in August.
Well, I haven't seen a movie yet. Have you?
Yeah, I haven't seen a movie. That's why I'm asking you.
All right. Well, there you go. That's my opinion. That's just all it is.
All right. Thank you, sir, and thank you so much for taking my call.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you. Let's welcome our caller from area code 704. Welcome.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye. Who are we talking to?
Yeah, that would be Frank in North Carolina.
Hey, Frank, how are you? Welcome.
Yeah, it's been a long time. I used to listen to you on other networks. I think I talked to you once one day in the afternoon a while back. Not a while, but yeah, I used to listen to you a lot at night, call into your show, probably too much. But
Yeah,
I've been listening to the show today, this evening, on and off, in between running errands and whatnot, and I figured I'd ask you because I'm pretty prolific. I call into a lot of radio shows, and I know people get tired of hearing me say it, but I'm not on the internet very much, and I think your last caller had stated she had not had television in 15 years. I think it's been about 9 for me. But I also don't do the. I was all over the internet doing research after I woke up back in December of 2005. But I'm not. I haven't been on it that much in the past few years. But I have a friend who helps me out and helps keep me up to date on everything. And I listen to a lot of these radio shows, like Revolution Radio, over my phone. You know, everybody's got these listen in lines. So I'm always. Yep. I don't have TV. I don't listen to, you know, mainstream radio or any of that. So I've always got some show, one of these shows from one of these alternative media networks. But I've asked the question to a number of people, and nobody seems to be able to answer it. And I think they're all pretty smart. And I know you've been in politics. You've run for office and everything. And, you know, this guy, Donald Trump, is an enigma to me. And I was really skeptical about him in the beginning. And you know, of late, in recent weeks, I've kind of like, you know what? What the hell? There is no one else. None of these other clowns is going to do anything for us except lip service. This guy, he's probably going to sell us out too, but hell, who knows? Maybe he's probably the most probable as far as being, it's probably more probable that he, more than any of the other ones, is more independent just because of his financial situation and his wealth. But do you know who is running? Does anybody know who? And I'm sure I could probably go look it up, and I will. I know I'm being lazy.
On the Republican side, I'll try to name a handful of them. There's Jeb Bush. There's Ted Cruz. There's Marco Rubio. There's what's his name? Huckabee's running. There's like a bunch of them. There's so many of them. They had to break the show down into the debate down into part one and part two. There were so many of them at one time. And quite frankly, I don't know who's in the field and who's out of the field anymore. Ben Carson. See, you talk about Trump. You see, if Trump was really, really smart, I think he's a pretty smart guy. But if he was really smart, he's avoiding the Fox debate tonight, you know, which I think is a brilliant move. But if he really wanted to play real politics, hardball with the other Republicans and the Democrats, he would name Ben Carson, the black neurosurgeon, as his running mate in advance of the convention. That would be the smart move to do, because it'll do a couple things. It'll completely make all the other candidates irrelevant, because he's already assumed the position that he's going to win it, number one. And then number two, having a black running mate is going to peel off a lot of black votes from the Democrats, who typically blacks vote as a Democrat bloc. And having a Trump-Carson ticket, announcing it in advance, would give them time to start fighting against the Democrats to win the presidency in advance. I think that would be what the smart money would do.
Okay, but my question is, and I don't really believe that anyone runs Trump. I think he's kind of an unusual situation there with his financial situation, like I said before. But who is running his campaign, or who officially is running his campaign? Now, I wonder, are they using him, or more? You know, I wouldn't be surprised if he's using them. But you know, I just know that. There's that certain group of people that you call them, Alex Jones calls them the Jewish Mafia, who he says is at the heart of the New World Order. You can go look that up on the internet. I got him to say that during a debate several years ago. But and you call it the Khazar Mafia and all that, and I use that for a while too. But who is running his campaign, and how do we know that they will not sabotage? Because personally, I believe Ron Paul's campaign, if he really was in it to win it, which I know he kind of says that he wasn't, he was only in it to educate people, which I don't know how well that's worked out. But anyway, I think all these campaigns get infiltrated by members of whatever you want to call it, the Jewish Mafia or whatever.
Absolutely. Well, my campaign got infiltrated. I had a mole in my campaign who was telling the other candidates everything I was doing before we did it. You know, it's part of how you play the game. But I think Trump's a pretty smart guy. I think with the money he's got, he doesn't need to go to Washington and hire some political hack consulting firm that's more loyal to the Republican National Committee than they are to the candidate. He can go in and hire the best marketing firms anywhere in the world. To market him, to market his campaign. He doesn't need to keep exclusively in the political zone, which all the other candidates do. He's got the ability to do that. He also has access to the best, with the money he's got, he's got access to the best intelligence out there that money can buy. He's got it. You know, it's one of the things. The more money you get, the more tools you can have to use. And he's got plenty of money to use on all these things.
Well, if he's the real deal and he really does care about saving America, he's going to be infiltrated no matter what he does. That's the way I see it, because these people are too powerful. They're too smart. They're too good at infiltrating. They'll get one of their people inside his campaign as a spy, as an operative, as an agent.
They'll find somebody who's in the campaign and they'll compromise them somehow.
Yes.
Whether it's human compromise or an outright bribe, whatever, they'll find a way to get somebody to sell him out from the inside out.
That is a great point. I couldn't have said it better myself. Now, the question is, I know he's shrewd. Is he shrewd enough to figure that out and work it in his favor and figure out who the mole or the moles are and use them to his favor? So I don't know, man. This is going to be very interesting, though.
Well, I think that's a good point. And it's kind of the thing in the intelligence community whenever you've discovered that you've got someone who's been turned on your side has been turned by the other guys. And you can test this by feeding them information and watch the reactions that feeding them information gets. Give them some good, give them some false, and watch what happens. And that's how you confirm that the person has been turned. And then once you know they're turned, then you can feed them all kinds of disinformation and make them go chase their tails in all the wrong directions. And that's when it gets fun.
Well, it's like a bicycle tire. You know, when you want to find out where the leak is, what do? You put air in the tire and see where the leak comes out of, where the bubbles come out of. You put the tire down in, you know, the water. You dip it in the water or whatever. There's all different types of ways to do that. I mean, that's been going on for ages, eons probably. But, you know, what we've just talked about just in the past several minutes, I listened to probably dozens of hours, maybe hundreds of hours of talk radio, alternative media radio, and I have not heard anybody talk about what we just talked about.
Well, that's why you dial into the short end of the stick to hear Mike Harris, right? You know,
yeah.
we try to bring stuff here that other people don't cover. We just try to be truthful, and we do our best to be discerning so that we don't misinform anybody anywhere. So anyway, but you're right. Trump is he's if you think the campaigning is tough, wait till you're in the office. Then, and I just got a note from Melissa saying Trump consulted with a guy named Roger Stone. And I don't know who that is. So that's a note from
Melissa. Well, I'm somewhat familiar with him. I've heard him on as a guest on a number of shows. He comes across very well. He presents very well. He's very knowledgeable, very intelligent. And I believe he's also Jewish. And, you know, I mean, there's a few Jews that are actual patriots and actual care about America. I personally believe it's very, very few. But anyway, that's all I had. I know your show's almost over, so I'll let you finish up.
Okay, well, hey, thank you so much for the call, and appreciate it. Appreciate your questions. Okay, folks, well, I'm here on my own. We've got another 4 or 5 minutes to go. I've got time for one more caller. Anybody wants to call in? Number is 310-421-4053. And again, the number is 310-421-4053. And I agree that, you know, there is no one in either party, the Democrat or the Republican Party, besides Trump, who's worth voting for. And, you know, I don't see Dennis Kucinich running. I like him. I don't agree with all of his politics, but I like him. You know, if he would run, I'd vote for him. If Ross Perot would run again, God, I'd love to have him as president, but he's not running. And so, you know, Trump looks like to be our best bet. And I really think that if Trump would run, I think he's on a roll right now with snubbing Fox News. I think they set him up to ambush him when he's on. They've been openly hostile to him. They don't like him. Rupert Murdoch, who owns Fox News, doesn't like Trump. You know, Rupert Murdoch is a big Israeli firster, and it's time, you know, that don't buy into the Fox News stuff. They put the really pretty girls up there and they tell you lies, and you don't mind watching, you don't mind hearing the lies because the pretty girls are there, but they tell you a lot of BS, and that's a Murdoch trick. But you know, if Trump would name Ben Carson as his running mate in advance of the convention and say, if I am nominated, Ben Carson is my man, and that's why I want. And the other thing about that is so brilliant. You see, if he names a Cruz or a Rubio or a Bush, he's running the risk that his running mate will assassinate him, like Johnson did to Kennedy. If he names Ben Carson, he won't have that problem. Okay, another two outsiders that will scare the bejesus out of the Republican Party. We got a caller from 917. Welcome to the show. Who are we talking to?
Murdoch.
Hey, Mike.
Doesn't like Trump.
Long echo in my ears. I'm speaking to you. Let me see if I can just ignore it. This is Reese from New York, Mike. How are you? I don't know if you remember me.
Hey, Reese. Yeah, long time.
Well, let me tell you, I wish I had more time. I'm on my way back from skiing up in the upstate New York, so I had some ride. I was listening to you on the road, but let me just say this. Number one, because we don't have much time, about Trump, masterful play. I mean, he's imitating the great chess master, Putin, and what he did here, because this was an ambush. They were going to put Megyn Kelly and that Muslim woman, probably well-groomed before the program with every possible trap for him, and he played it masterfully. So good for Trump. I hope he's able to keep his poll numbers as they are, because he's really the only hope we have right now, Mike.
Oh, I think he's it. You know, he's not ideal, but I think he's the best of the bunch. All right,
well,
Reese,
let me tell you something.
Go ahead.
I'll call you in another time. I got a lot to talk about as far as the Khazarian mafia, the occult theocracy, and the forces behind the political establishment, because I have a pretty good depth and knowledge on those subjects.
All right, Reese, we'll call you in another time. I'll take callers again the next week or two then, okay?
Okay, right. Mike. Listen, you're right. A great man. Keep it up.
Hey, will do. Area code 602, Arizona. Welcome to the show. Hello, 602. Can't hear a thing. All right. Let's go to 920. Hello, 920.
Hey, how are you doing? This is Pale Rider.
Hey, how are you?
Doing well. I'm just wondering, you know, when you talk about, like, the candidates and the, you know, lesser of the evils, if you will, or something. I mean, you know, with all that talk about, like, Rothschilds and just even that last caller talking about, like, the forces behind the government, you know, me, everybody knows I'm a Christian. You know, you go to Matthew 4:8 and, you know, Satan tempts Jesus in the desert and offers him the kingdoms because they're his to give. And Jesus says, you know, no, I'm not going to bow down to you. But he doesn't contest the fact that they're Satan's to give. You know, do you really think, you know, anyone could ascend to the presidency without being controlled by the elite and, you know, dare I say, Luciferian elite?
Well, you know, I don't know what I don't know. That is the ideal that I dream of, is that we can get somebody in there who is clean and not tainted. But even if we did that, he's going to be surrounded by people who are. And so it's really time for a regime change in the United States. We need new management. We need new government, because these guys who have been calling the shots haven't done a very good job. In fact, they've done a terrible job. And I like I said, nobody has absolutely clean hands. You know, as you're a Christian, you know, every man's a sinner in some way or another. And so, you know, who is absolutely pure? Nobody. So, but is Trump the best we can get? Looks like he is right now.
All right, I get it. I'm with you. All right, thanks for taking my call.
Hey, my pleasure. Thank you so much. And folks, it sounds like we're out of time. So, yep, we are. We're out of time. Everybody, it's been a great day. I've had many good callers. I want to thank each and every one of you so much. And my caller from 781 Maine, thank you for calling and spending time with us. I really appreciate it. I'll have you back on again next time. And everybody, take care. Have a great evening. Bye-bye.